Beautiful. Oh, how he loves you and me. That's a good thing to start off with. That's a good truth to just hang out and swim in for a little bit. Juliana, you're back. You're here. Are you taking blood pressure?
Yes.
Okay. If you want blood pressure taken after the service, she'll be in the fellowship hall. Absolutely free. You can figure out how you're doing blood pressure-wise. We got a hand-foot game coming up Wednesday at 1. Daytimers, it's been a roller coaster. It's been crazy. We moved the time to 10:30, and then we moved it back. So now it's in the covenant call at 10:30 to 11:30, but that's not truth. It's 10 to 11:30. It's back to the normal hour, okay? Hour and a half, actually. I know. You're upset. I'm upset. Yeah. Anything else? Oh, yeah. There's school supplies. We're still collecting stuff for Operation Christmas Child. Make sure you look at all the prayer points. We have an amazing family of God. I'm coming back from vacation. I want to thank Patrick. He's probably, lose my number, Jay. Anyway, he came in and he preached and he did the, I heard he knocked it out of the park. I haven't listened to it yet. And what else is? I think that's about it. Let's stand up and greet each other in the name of the Lord. All right, if you've seated, I've got some bad news for you. I'm going to ask you to stand up again for this morning's call to worship. And our call to worship comes from Psalm 24, and it's just the first verse. And I think it's really interesting because this Sunday, today, we're studying Haknaset Orchim, which is the Hebrew phrase that literally means bringing in our guests. And you'll see it has a lot to do with our sermon. So Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let's worship the Lord singing, Holy God, we praise thy name.
good to have Jason and his beautiful wife back. I have such a good perch. I get to look straight at them every time I sit at the piano, and it's awesome.
Amazing God.
Who
has told every lightning bolt where it should go. Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and give source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring us the moon.
Uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky, you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees, we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
You are amazing.
Uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Indescribable.
Thank you, band. Proverbs 28 reminds us, whoever conceals their transgressions does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one, blessed are we, who always tremble before God. Let us humbly come before God this morning, recognizing our shortcomings and seeking forgiveness and renewal. Together, merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law, and we have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have refused to hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news, my friends. The mercy of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives all strength, all sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Please stand.
life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained, just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running, losing the race, were it not for grace. Expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran the course I couldn't even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love
Thank you, Tim. That was beautiful. Wow. Okay, we're in Mudhouse Sabbath. We're studying this book, Mudhouse Sabbath. Well, we're using it as a launching pad to study the spiritual disciplines as we can learn things from our Hebrew, our Jewish brothers and sisters. And it was written by this woman named Lauren Winter. And today we're using the launch pad on hospitality, like I mentioned at the call to worship. And as way of introductions, I'd forgotten about this chapter. And it was a really pleasant surprise. As I was reading it, I was, because I read this years ago when it came out, and I read it a couple times since, but this chapter had never really stood out like it did as I was preparing for this sermon. So, and I linked it. It's the scripture is Zacchaeus, and it's familiar, but God kind of freshly breathed a reminder that Zacchaeus' story is, in a way, my story. And I'll get to that after when we start preaching and stuff. And then the second thing is I wanted to say is, as an introduction is, it's a really accessible spiritual discipline. And there's actually, in Lauren's chapter, she says, some rabbis think that it's actually more important than prayer. It's more linked with our hearts than any of the other spiritual disciplines, which is questionable, but it's worth listening to, and especially as we prepare our hearts to hear from God's word. The first scripture I'm going to read is the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and it's found in Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And I have cheated, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And we're going to read a second scripture. It's not going to be up on the screen, but if you want to find it in your pew Bibles, it's on page, once I find my notes, I'll be able to tell you, page 126, and it's just one verse, so I'll pause just in case anybody wants to look her up, you know, practice your sword drills. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, that's the third one, and then you go to page 126 and you cheat. But it's Leviticus 19, verse 34. Oh, there's a glitch in the matrix. What's yours 126 have?
Numbers.
Oh. That doesn't help us. Leviticus 19, verse 34, and it's just that one verse. I'm slowing down. Malia's saying, "Go, go, go." No, I'm not going, going, going. I read that stuff about Sabbath. Aren't we supposed to be slow, right? And I'll read it. Here it is. "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." This is the word of the Lord. And I'll get to why I read that in a second. I keep moving things around. There's too many books here. All right. That's the wrong thing. Here we go. First, my story. The Zacchaeus one. First, I'd like to point out where it says he was short. Right there, the Greek word is auton, like he. And it matches Zacchaeus and Jesus. So Bart Tarman, who is a vertically challenged man who used to be the chaplain over at Westmont, said, this is the only scripture that proves that Jesus Christ was short. That's a joke. Never mind. Am I rusty? I think I'm a little rusty. I don't know. You guys forgot what I'm like? Okay, let's reconnect here. Jason Warren Griffiths, okay? Love you. Perfect. My father is a very intelligent man. He went to Mizzou. He got his master's in chemical engineering. From Mizzou, he got his PhD in nuclear engineering, the medical side from Mizzou. And then he did his postdoc work at Harvard and MIT. And along the way, he had become too smart for God. Have you ever met anybody like that? Too smart for God. He was like, no, I'm too intelligent. I can't believe there's a maker, all that. My mom dragged him to church when we were living in Massachusetts. Right after he did his postdoc work, he started working for the government called ITEC. He wasn't technically working for the government. He was working for a company that worked for the government. And he had a higher security clearance than the president at this point when he was working for ITEC. And they would send out people in black suits, and they would ask my neighbors, have he divulged any secrets? Anyway, that's another story. My mom drags him to church. And we go to West Medway Community Church, where there's a Reverend Derby. He's an ex-Presbyterian minister. He's working in a community church. And he invited himself over to our house for Thanksgiving. And my dad, who had lost his dad recently, met his match intellectually. Reverend Derby is smarter than my dad. And it was God moving things around. And if my dad hadn't become a follower of Jesus, this man right here wouldn't have become a follower of Jesus. And Reverend Derby changed the trajectory of my family's life and my eternal life, right? That's how important hospitality is. Look at that. Who's being hospitable? Zacchaeus, right? But he's being made to be hospitable, right? He's changed from the inside out by his hospitality that's pretty much forced upon him by our Lord Jesus the Christ. Hospitality is really, really important. It's essential. If we claim to be followers of God, claim to be followers of Christ, hospitality needs to be on our syllabus, on our study manual. We have to have outlets for this enormous amount of grace that Tim just sang about, right? In order to put that grace out into our lives. And hospitality is one of these key main avenues to do such thing. The text, the chapter by Lauren lays out the roots scripturally for hospitality for both the Jew and the Christian. And that verse is one of the roots. Leviticus 19:34, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. There used to be a bumper sticker out there that said, God said it, I believe it, shut up. It's a little abrasive for me, but God said, be hospitable. Invite guests into your life. That's the root number one. God said it. Some people, that's all they need. Root number two. I'll read our call to worship once again. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That's our root number two. Creation. Our call to hospitality is rooted in God's creation. He made a home for you and I. He made it. Like our call to worship says, He made it and every person that dwells in it, every being that dwells in it, all the cats. You got any cat people? Raise your hand if you're a cat person. Raise your hand if you're a dog person. Raise your hand if you're not really liking pets. I own pets, but they're COVID. That's another sermon. Lauren says this, to invite people into your homes is to respond with gratitude to the God who made a home for us. To invite people into your home is to respond with gratitude to the God who made a home for us. So that's root number two, creation. God made a home for you. God made a home for me. Let's invite people into our homes. Invite into our lives. Root number three is the Trinity. It's actually the Trinity, the triune God in relationship. It's a beautiful word out there. Perichoresis. Have you ever heard that word? It's perimeter dance. It's the dance of the Trinity. Perichoresis. The Holy Spirit grabs a hold of Grant, won't let him go, pulls him close to this cross where Jesus paid for all of Grant's sins. Grant's sins go here. Christ's righteousness goes there. And Jesus says, welcome to the family. Dad's now your dad, Heavenly Father. And there's a dance, and I like to skip. So there's a dance. There's a dance going on, and it's this Trinitarian dance. And we, as followers of Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, worshiping the Heavenly Father, are dancing. Carol, do you feel like you're dancing? Sure. That's amen, right? Picture us all up here dancing, and then we invite people in. It's that simple. We invite people in. You feel like dancing? You feel like dancing? Let me read this. Having God's creation gives us a model for making and sharing homes with people. We invite them into our lives, having guests and visitors. We do it right. If we do it, there it is. If we do it right, is not an imposition, because we are not meant to rearrange our lives for our guests. We are meant to invite our guests to enter into our lives as they are. Right? So that deepens the level. All of a sudden, hospitality, it was about welcoming the stranger, or welcoming and making the guest. Now it's about me. It's about us. It's about us inviting the guests in and no longer seeing them as guests. Because are we seen as guests? Yes or no? Absolutely not. We're seen as children. sons and daughters. We pass that on. That's where it gets scary, right? This is a heart level. This is where Jesus in the world, there's a rub. Because if people see the real me, what are they going to think? What are they going to look? And she humorously talks about, if people come over my house, they're going to see that I don't dust. Yeah, I don't put things away sometimes, you know? If I welcome them, but that's an external truth, right? If I start inviting people in, they're going to start seeing I'm not always real nice. I sometimes get angry. I'm not always dancing around. Sometimes I'm really hurt. Sometimes I'm really afraid. Sometimes I don't want to let anyone in. Right? And this brings us back to that Leviticus verse. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. Does anybody know anything about AA? I may have said this already, but and it's as it was getting launched, it kept failing. It kept not working. It wasn't until the founder, I forget his name, he discovered the idea of a sponsor. Let's say I'm struggling with alcoholism, okay? Let's say Malia is struggling with alcoholism. Let's say I sponsor Malia. There's something about me holding her accountable that holds me accountable. There's something in the fact that I'm broken and I need to stay fixed that keeps her fixed. Do you follow that? God does too in Leviticus. This guy, he unpacks it. He says this. True hospitality requires we both understand the experience of being vulnerable stranger and what it means to receive all things from God. Do you follow that? Hospitality requires us to realize that God is stretched to the ultimate degree to give us an amazing abundance of grace and make these amazing sunsets, make these amazing oceans, amazing trees. When's the last time you went up to see a sequoia? Anybody seen a sequoia lately? Grant, you're nodding. You seen one? Are they big still? Do they still remind you that God is absolutely huge and amazing and takes care of every single one of our needs? If you stare into the Pacific Ocean, we went to the beach last night. If, you know Carter Macy? I learned something new about Carter Macy. He would rather be in the Pacific Ocean at all times. We could not bring him back in. It's the sun is going down. It's getting absolutely cold. The water's at 42 degrees. I don't know. It's barely above freezing. I don't know how cold it is, but it looked really cold. I put my foot in it, and I had nightmares. And but he's out there, and he's swimming. He's just a boy, and he's got a smile from ear to ear. And he's home. Like I got a picture last night of how we're all home. God takes care of us. When's the last time you ate because you were hungry, not bored or stressed? He's taking care of us to that degree. I think we'll just apply this, right? I'll find my right thing. First, be real. I think that comes out of that last one. Do a reality check. List out the things that God has provided for you. List out the ways that God has been hospitable to you. List out the ways that God has invited you into the dance. Start from a place of gratitude. We were wanderers. In Leviticus, God is reminding the Jews, you were slaves. Were we slaves? Yes, we're slaves to sin and death. Now we're no longer. He's invited us into this dance. Be real. Check. Be intentional. She lists out ways. She moves houses. She says, my house isn't very good for hosting people. I'm going to move to a better place that more hospitable. Be intentional. Think of ways that you can make guests into friends. Invite them into your lives. I know it's scary, but intentionally do such things. And I would encourage you, and I love that she says this, take small steps. You don't have to invite the next homeless person home with you. You don't have to start with being hospitable to people in your life right now. Think of someone that you could connect with and invite them over your house. Or somebody maybe you've grown apart from. Take that step forward and say, hey, can we meet for coffee or tea? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, we thank you for making this world. We thank you for being hospitable and so generous with us. We pray that as we dance in that generosity, you would assist us by your Spirit to invite people into the dance with us. That we would invite people into our lives. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus the Christ, and all God's people said, let's sing, I Surrender All.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As Ed started to collect the offering during I Surrender All, it made me think of a Tony Campolo story. No, I love you, Ed. You're amazing. Tony Campolo, you know who that is? He's a charismatic Pentecostal guy, amazing teacher. Every time they sing that song, he says, let's change the lyrics to what we really do. I surrender 10%. And it was just convicting, right? So, Ed, you just, I saw a couple of people throwing their whole wallets, and you did the right thing. I'm just messing. I love it, yeah. What, hit them twice. We got it. As we continue in worship, it says in Scripture to give joyfully from this space. Like, we're all chuckling. We make mistakes. That's everybody up here. I'm usually the one. I'm glad it's Ed this week. But God is so good. We're so, like, if you just pause and take every day as Thanksgiving and every Sunday as Easter and start listing all the ways that God gives and gives and gives and gives, even when you're sleeping, even when you're angry at him, even when you're confused, even when you've lost your sister, right? Even when you're the darkest place in the possible universe, God is still good, and his grace is like a fire hose. It's still coming. Out of that place, the grace, the gratitude, the smile and the laughter, let's give back to God just a portion of what he's given us. This morning's offering is now received.
We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy.
You may be seated. Whatever we do in word or deed, let us do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father Almighty through him. For he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Standing on these promises, will you please pray with me? Precious and merciful God, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving on our lips and in our hearts. Whether we are in good spirits, in a neutral space, or in a really tough spot, there is always something to be grateful for. For your presence is unchanging, your love is enduring, and your plans for us are good. Thank you, God. Thank you for knitting us so precisely together in our mother's womb. Thank you for choosing us before we chose you. And thank you, Lord, that your promise to never leave or forsake us. Our gratitude runs deep. Father, we lift up President Trump to you and ask for your healing hand on him. No matter our political stance, an assassination attempt is not the way we resolve conflict. We pray too for your mercy and healing on those who were injured at the rally and comfort for the families of those who were killed. Gracious Lord, we pray for your provision and protection for the 800,000 Houston area residents that are still without power. 1 week now. In the sweltering heat, no air conditioning or fans, no refrigeration, cold water or ice, no ability to charge their devices, such necessities that we take for granted. We pray for the power company to swiftly restore their power today, and we pray for the power company employees that are working tirelessly in the heat to bring the power grid back up. Bless each one. Almighty God, we pray for your protection for those whose homes are in the path of the wildfires. Keep them safe. We pray for your comfort for those who have lost their homes to the wildfires or to Hurricane Beryl last week. Provide for their needs, we pray. And Lord, protect all of the first responders that are handling the fires and are dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane. Everlasting Father, we pray for our church and for your mission for this corner of your kingdom. We pray for your will to be done right here. Open our ears to hear and our eyes to see what you are doing. We pray for a fresh indwelling of your Holy Spirit right here and right now. We pray for Pastor Jason and his family for strength, joy, and discernment. We pray for our leaders for wisdom and direction. And we pray for one another for a deeper walk with you. More of you, Jesus. More of you. May we be known for our welcoming presence where love and hugs abound. May we be known as a place where weary folks can come and find respite in your open arms. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who need you. May they experience your healing touch today and find strength and peace in your presence. For those who are grieving, Lord, we pray for you to meet them in their pain and comfort them. We pray for your hand of healing on our loved ones. May each one feel your very presence with them, lavished in your mercy and in your grace. We lift up these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our living and reigning Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for our sending hymn.
Friend we have in Jesus, right? I was just hearing that as that title, because you know it's taken. What a friend! I had like this vision of an Italian guy. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? But then in that last picture of that friend taking us in his arms and shielding us. What a great visual, right? It kind of has to do with the sermon, and I'll spare you another sermon, but just notice that friend invites us into the dance, and we are that friend to that next guest, that next stranger. We do have a hospitality team, and if you want to not only look at your private world, and look at this church and be a part of the hospitality team. Talk to Nora after the service. Talk to Steve if you want to be a part of that front line of the parking all this summer. We got some birthdays. And we'll sing happy birthday in the Fellowship Hall, but there's cupcakes. But Marcia did another lap around the sun. My wife says, don't ever say that about me. She doesn't like the phrase, a lap around the sun. I think it's clever. Anywho, there's a bunch of other birthdays and a bunch of other anniversaries. Make sure you find out if you're sitting next to one of them. Right now, receive this benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, the shalom of God, that passes earthly understanding, guard your heart and your mind today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.